kids like you, maker of heaven, Lord of the land and Lord of the sea, holy and true, faithful and able, Lord of all time and eternity.
Hi, God bless you. This is your brother Ferdinand, and welcome to the continuation of our studies in the School of Divine Revelation. And I hope that these studies are having a great impact on your life, because you see, the more I see God as He is God is mind-boggling. But He has revealed Himself to us in Scripture. Remember, we saw the divine self-revelation, that God has revealed Himself to us, first of all, through the things that He made, and then secondly, through His written word, and then in His living word, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we've been studying Jesus to see the Father, because Jesus said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." And in our study of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have seen His prehistoric existence, meaning that Jesus has been here and has been there before time began. He has always been with the Father. Remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So He's been there from the beginning. He did not just begin to exist when He was born by the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem. So Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. And because He's the full and final revelation of who God is, the more we look at Him, the more we see God as He is. We have also seen the uniqueness of Christ. And what I'd like us to do now is to see what I call the glorified Christ. The glorified Christ. Let's pray for light. Father, in the name of Jesus, please reveal Jesus to us as He is right now. Help us not to just see Jesus hanging on the cross, or Jesus walking the streets of, Capernaum or Jerusalem or elsewhere, but Jesus exalted, glorified, seated at the right hand of the Father, and coming again in glory to judge the living and the dead. Take away the veil and give us a revelation of the glorified Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Okay, now, this is very important. The reason is because most believers only see Jesus in the manger. Particularly during Christmas, you know, you have these manger scenes of the baby Jesus. And then people get an idea that that's what Jesus looks like. That's what Jesus looked like when He first came into this world. But He did not remain in the manger. The second thing is, a lot of people see Jesus and they see the regular, man, son of man, so to speak, walking around with Peter and Andrew and James, and then, healing the sick in the street, entering into somebody's house, or comforting somebody else, or blessing the little children. And that's okay. But you see, there is a vision of Jesus you must see, and that is Jesus as He is now. Most believers don't have any idea of what Jesus Christ looks like now. This is very important, because if all the idea you have of Christ is Jesus, the earlier ones that we have explained, you are not seeing Jesus properly. And if you don't see Him glorified, exalted, higher than the highest heavens, you will not see His power and His absolute authority over everything. But with the revelation of the glorified Christ will come faith and confidence and awe and worship, and then you will know Him as He is. Don't forget, the Bible says we shall be like Him because we will see Him as He is, not as He was. Not as He was when He walked on the earth, but as He is now in glory. So the first thing I want us to see, there are three aspects I want us to look at. The first thing is that Jesus laid down His glory when He was coming to this earth. Then secondly, we look at the preview of that glory that was granted to some people even while Jesus was here on earth. And then finally, we will now look at the glorified Christ, what Jesus looks like right now. So let's begin with the fact that Jesus laid down his glory. In Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5, the apostle writes by the Holy Spirit, he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Verse 6, "Who being in the form of God, did not consider it, robbery, something to be clung to, something to hold on to, to be equal with God." So you see, Jesus here had the nature of God from the beginning, but he did not consider the fact that he was God something to cling to. But look what the Bible now says he did in verse 7. It says, "But he emptied himself." He emptied himself. Theologians call this the kenosis, the self-emptying of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he emptied himself of his privileges. He emptied himself of the glory that he had before time began. Listen to how the New Living Translation puts this. It says, "Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to." Look at verse 7. "Instead, he gave up his divine privileges." That's the emptying. He gave up, willingly laid down. Nobody forced him and nobody took it from him. But he willingly and gladly laid down his divine privileges, emptied himself of. That's why he could now be in one place at one time. Remember, as God, he is omnipresent. But when he emptied himself, he became singularly present. Jesus could not be in Capernaum and be in Jerusalem at the same time. He could only be in one place at a time. That was a feature of the kenosis, of the self-emptying of Christ, when he emptied himself of his divine privileges. Not of his divine nature, but of the privileges and all the things that he could do. Jesus did not operate on earth here as God. He operated as God, but as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. Remember, he is Emmanuel, God with us, but he didn't operate like that. He operated as a man who was anointed by the Spirit. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. God anointed him. So Jesus functioned from the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And that's why he says that those of us that put our trust in him, we can do the things that he did and greater works. Of course, not greater in kind, but greater in quantity, because now we are many, many more that believe in him. But the reason he could say that was because the same Holy Spirit that walked through him will be available to us believers. Now, watch this. So Jesus humbled himself. He says here, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And then when he appeared in human form, the Bible now tells us, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. So you see, Jesus, when you see him walking down the streets, that's the humbled Christ. That's not the glorified Christ. When you see him, being insulted by people and, he didn't react or respond, that is the Christ that has taken the form of a man, not the glorified Christ as he was before he, became a man. So when you see him dying on the cross, that is Jesus humbled. See, the cross is good, but the cross was a means to an end, not an end in itself. We are not supposed to fix our eyes on the cross. We are to fix our eyes on Jesus. Are you following? I don't remember any verse of scripture that tells us to fix our eyes looking onto the cross. We don't find any scripture like that. I know that we sing songs like that, and the cross is very important. Don't misunderstand me. But we are told in Hebrews chapter 12 to run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. So, and we are supposed to see Jesus in the different phases of his personality. Looking unto the prehistoric Christ. Looking unto the eternal Word that took flesh, looking unto Jesus that became a man, looking unto Jesus that died for us on the cross, but also looking unto Jesus now glorified, seated at the Father's right hand and coming again in glory in the clouds to judge the living and the dead, looking unto the glorified Jesus. He is the one we must fix our eyes upon as we run our own race. So we've established from this scripture that Jesus laid down his glory. But look at the rest of that scripture from verse 9 now. After he became obedient, going so far as to die on the cross, we are now told in verse 9, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. So Christ is now highly, highly, highly exalted. And when the Bible says highly exalted, you need to ask yourself, how high? And he is higher than the heavens, as high as the Most High, because that's who he is. God has highly exalted him, glorified him, magnified him. And look what God did. God has given him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow. That could not happen when he was here walking the streets of Galilee. No, but now he has been exalted to the right hand of the Father, and he has poured out the Holy Spirit, and his name is now the name above every name. So this vision, the Bible now says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven, those on the earth, those under the earth, and every tongue should, like the Amplified Bible says, frankly and openly confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So you see from this passage of scripture that Jesus is now highly, highly exalted. And we believers must see this highly exalted Christ. The NLT says, God elevated him to the place of highest honor. So the Jesus who is there now is the Jesus with the highest honor, the glorified, exalted Christ. That's the Jesus that the church must deal with now. That not the historical Jesus, the current Christ, exalted, glorified, magnified. And we are going to see how the Bible describes him. And I tell you, he is mind-boggling. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. You also see the same principle of how Jesus laid aside his glory in John chapter 17, verses 4 and 5. So you see in verse 4, it says, I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Jesus was talking to the Father, and he says, Father, I have glorified you on the earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. Now listen to verse 5. He says, and now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself. Glorify me together with yourself alongside you. With the glory which I had with you before the world was. So in this scripture, Jesus is now about to leave and is praying this high priestly prayer. And he's asking the Father to, first of all, he's telling the Father, I have finished the work you gave me to do. And then he says, now, Father, I'm coming to you. Glorify me with yourself alongside you with the same glory that I had with you before the foundation of the world. So in this scripture, we are hearing Jesus say, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. Why is he praying that prayer? Because he laid that glory aside. And now he's going back to the Father and he's asking the Father according to divine protocols. He didn't just come to assume it back by himself. He's asking the Father, Father, you remember what I laid aside before coming to earth? Now restore it. Glorify me with that glory that I had with you before the foundation of the world. So you see that Jesus laid aside his glory. But you see, even when he was here on earth, some people got a preview of that glory, which now brings me to that important fact, the preview of the glory that some people saw when Jesus was here. And you will see that in Luke chapter 9. You will also see it, of course, in Matthew chapter 17. But in Luke chapter 9, we are told from verse 28 that it came to pass about 8 days after teaching certain things, Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. Now, verse 29, as he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him who were Moses and Elijah. Now listen to verse 31. Who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. So you see, Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep. And then when they were fully awake, they saw his glory. They saw his glory. And the two men who stood with him. And then Peter, of course, began to talk. But look here, the Bible tells us that as Jesus was praying, he was transfigured. His countenance, his appearance changed. He was blazing with glory. In fact, the Bible says that his face was shining like the light. Hallelujah. Listen to the Matthew version. Matthew says in verse 2, he was transfigured before them. Now, the word transfigured there is metamorpho, and it's metamorphosis. That's the root word for metamorphosis. If you remember basic biology, if you had the opportunity to study that, metamorphosis is when there is this change taking place for the for instance, it goes from the egg to the larva to the pupa and then to the beautiful monarch or other kind of butterfly that is the end of that, transformative process. So what the Bible is telling us here is that there was a metamorphosis. The regular everyday Jesus that Peter, John, and James were used to changed, transfigured, metamorphosized in front of them. Now, here is something that really struck me, and I believe this was something that hit Peter and John and James, was that nothing entered into Jesus. You see, if something had entered into him and then he began to change, well, they would say, well, this is not the same person that we have always been with. We were there, then something entered into him and then he started changing. But the wonder here is that as they were looking at the ordinary, everyday, regular Jesus that they were used to, and then suddenly what was inside him, the hidden glory, began to burst out. They were granted a preview of the glorified Christ. So the Matthew version, now Matthew now said he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. Imagine his face shining like the sun. Please note that, because when we now see John's description of the glorified Christ in the book of Revelation, you are going to see this here. His face was shining like the sun. His clothes became white as light. And don't forget, Luke tells us that Peter, John, and James, they saw his glory. They saw his glory. Now, that's why later Peter could now tell the story. And Peter now said, look, we did not follow cunningly devised fables. This is in the second epistle of Peter, chapter 1 and verse 16. Listen to what Peter says. And you also hear John telling the story. So Peter says, look, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. In other words, we are not telling you empty stories when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter now says, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. Did you see the glory there? When such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. So you see, a voice came from the excellent glory, bestowing glory upon the Christ who had humbled himself. Peter is saying, we were there. We saw it with our own eyes. So he says, when that voice said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He said, we heard this voice which came from heaven. When we were with him on the holy mountain. Which mountain was Peter talking about? That's the Mount of Transfiguration. So Peter is saying, we were there. In fact, the Message version says, we were there for the preview. The preview. We saw a preview. You know the way you see a preview of something that is yet to be shown to everybody? Peter said, we saw it. We saw the preview of what Christ will look like ultimately. He said, we have seen his glory. And then John, in John chapter 1, tells the story. John said, look, that which was from the beginning, which was, you know, with the Father. And then he said, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have touched, which we have handled concerning the word of life. That's what we are proclaiming to you. So John was in effect saying, we are not talking theories here. We are talking to you about the glorified Christ that we existed before. Then we heard of him. Then we saw him. Then we touched him. Then we handled him. And we are with him on the holy mountain. We've seen his glory. That's the one we are proclaiming to you, not empty theories. So you see, these apostles got a view of the glorified Christ. They saw what the final Jesus, the current Christ, what he looks like. They saw it even while they were with him on that Mount of Transfiguration. And that thing never left their hearts and their minds. They could see Jesus glorified. They realized that this is no ordinary human being that we are playing around with here. Do you know that? I believe that from that moment, as they came down from that Mount of Transfiguration, and then don't forget that Jesus told them not to tell anybody. So I can imagine Peter, John, and James looking at each other when Thomas and other people will be asking questions and saying all kinds of things. These three will just look at themselves and say they don't know who they are talking with. They don't know who they are dealing with. Wow. And I believe that this might have been why Peter looked at Jesus and said, God forbid, nobody can kill you. Because what Peter saw on the mountain was deathless. Who is going to kill this person shining like the sun? Well, of course, Jesus corrected him. But the point was there were aspects of the salvation, you know, work that Peter did not understand as at that time. That this same Jesus was going to lay down his life on the cross and then afterward resume that glory that he had laid aside. So you see now, but what these apostles saw as a preview, they now describe to us in detail in the book of Revelation, when John now saw the glorified Christ. And the purpose of this description is so that by meditating on the word and engaging Jesus as revealed in scripture, we ourselves will also get a preview. Hallelujah. Whoa, hallelujah. You and I too, as we are walking on this earth, will we have a preview of the glorified Christ? Will we have an idea of the Jesus we will see on the last day? You know, a lot of people have no idea of what Jesus will look like when they eventually see him. The Bible tells us. Oh, I'm telling you, the Bible tells us. So let's now go to the book of Revelation chapter 1 and see the glorified Christ described in detail. Okay, so I'm going to now read it from Revelation chapter 1 and from verse 9. This is John speaking. He said, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, I was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as like a trumpet. Notice the voice. And look what the voice said. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Do you know that as Alpha and Omega, Jesus has the Alpha word and the Omega word. He has the first word and he has the last word on every matter. Satan cannot have the last word on your life or on your case. Jesus is Alpha and Omega. He has, Jesus speaks first, then he allows Satan and everybody else to talk in the middle, and then he speaks last to conclude every matter. He has the final word on every person, every situation, every case, on every matter in the universe. Whoa! Glory to the Son of God. This is the glorified Jesus. You could argue with the Jesus that was walking around on the streets of Galilee, but not with this one. You see, a lot of people don't think that Jesus Christ is a church reverend. Jesus is not a pastor in your church. He is Lord of the universe. It's important you understand what I'm telling you. You see, your vision, your idea of Jesus will determine how you see him, how you serve him, the authority that will accompany you in life. You cannot operate in an authority greater than your revelation of Jesus. Even when you say in the name of Jesus, the name will only accomplish according to your revelation of the name and of the owner of the name. If the owner of the name is small, the name will be small when you call it. But if you can see a vision of the glorified Christ, and then with that revelation, you say in the name of Jesus, you will know that that name is as irresistible as the person that it represents. Glory to Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Then he said to John, he said, what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and then Laodicea. Now, watch verse 12 now closely. John then said, I turned to see the voice. Who is this owner? Who is the owner of this voice that is loud and sounding like a trumpet? See, what the thing is telling you that Jesus' voice is so loud that it reverberates in the universe. When he speaks, the whole universe hears. When Jesus Christ says a word, it runs across the entire universe. What? The Son of the Living God. Now, I want you to watch this. He said, when I turned to see this voice, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man. He says he was clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. I normally tell people, look at how Jesus wears his own clothes. His garment covers him properly. All of these people who say they are Christians and they are wearing revealing clothes that are displaying their body and showing their nakedness, you know, cutting clothes, you know, above their knees. And you wonder, why are you showing all this flesh? Look at Jesus. He covered himself properly, his garment down to the feet. I'm not saying wear clothes that are maxi or that, you know, nobody sees any part of you, wear a burqa or something. That's not what I'm talking about. But cover yourself properly if you belong to Christ. Don't use your body as a temptation to other people. According to Proverbs chapter 7 verse 10, it's prostitutes that dress like that. You can read it. That's not my focus now. But look at Jesus. He was clothed with a garment down to the feet. And he was girded about the chest with a golden band. Now watch verse 14. This is Jesus. This is the way you are going to see him when you stand before him in glory. Why? He says his head and hair were white like wool. His head, the head, and then the hairs. Notice I'm emphasizing the two. Both the head and the hairs were white like wool. As white as snow. And his eyes like a flame of fire. Can you imagine head and hair white, white as wool, white as snow? But then the Bible then says that his eyes were like flames of fire. Can you imagine eyes of fire burning, piercing eyes, shining and reflecting from head and hair that is white as snow, white as wool? Wow. And then look what he says. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, as if it's blazing. Now, for him to have eyes of fire, you need to ask yourself, how can he have eyes of fire? The reason is because, remember, Jesus said that the Father dwells in me. And the Father God himself is consuming fire. So by virtue of the indwelling of the consuming fire inside Christ, the Bible tells us that his eyes are flames of fire. Even his feet, they are like brass glowing in a furnace. Why? Because of the fire, the consuming fire that is resident in his fullness inside the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. So he said his feet was burning, as if refined in a furnace. And look, he says his voice was like the sound of many waters. One version said like the thunderous roar of a mighty waterfall, like a cataract. Like, just imagine, you know, a waterfall crashing down beneath is roaring like a Niagara. The voice of Jesus. Look how the NLT puts it. He said, his head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were like polished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice thundered like mighty ocean waves. Look at now verse 16. He held seven stars in his right hand. These are not toys. Imagine, do you know the sun is our closest star? 93 million miles away, the sun in the sky. And Jesus is holding seven stars in his right hand. Seven stars, blazing stars in his right hand. And I want you to see now, he says, and a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth. He said, out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. You see, the sword, that's the word of God. The Bible says, tells us that the word of God is, you know, living, quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's coming out of his mouth. So imagine a person from whom out of his mouth a sword, sharp two-edged sword, is coming out of his mouth. His face is shining. Look what he says, you know, there. A sharp two-edged sword went out of his mouth, and his countenance, if you looked at his face, is shining like the sun. Remember Peter? That's what Peter and Co. saw, the preview. Now John is seeing that Christ glorified, and he's seeing this person. Who is this? With his face blazing like the sun. You couldn't look at him. Who is this with a sword coming out of his mouth? Who is this with eyes of fire? Where can I hide? Where can you hide? Where can anybody hide from eyes of fire? Who is this with a voice that roars like a thunderous waterfall? This is not your regular Jesus walking on the streets of Galilee. This is not the person the Pharisees were insulting. This is the glorified Christ. And this is the person that the whole world will stand before for judgment. This is the Jesus that is right now seated at the right hand of the Father. This is the Jesus that is the head of the church. This is the Lord of the universe. This is the one whose name is above every name, and at whose name every knee must bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now look what happened when John saw him. He said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. When I saw him. Listen, you see, the trouble with us in the church is that we are not looking for Jesus. I don't understand what we are doing. This is the owner of the church, but we are not preaching him. We are not studying him. We are using him to collect things. What kind of Christianity is this? No wonder we are not correct. No wonder we are the way we are. When I saw him, I pray that God will give you a revelation of Christ, that God will give me. You see, this has been my continued prayer. You see, these passages that we are studying, they are my most interesting passages of scripture, because I want to see him as he is now. Where I pray to God, I say, Jesus, transfigure before my eyes. Transfigure before my eyes. You are no longer this ordinary, regular Jesus that humbled yourself and came to this world. Transfigure before my eyes. Let me see you as you are. Oh, let me see you as you are. Wow. Let me see you as you are. Hi. When I saw him, when I saw this person, head and hair, white as wool, white as snow, eyes blazing fire. When I saw this person with feet looking like fire burning, bronze in a furnace, and I saw him, the one that had this voice out of, with sword coming out of his mouth, his face shining like the blazing sun. The Message version says, like a perigee sun, a sun at its peak. When I saw him blazing in glory, he said, I fell at his feet dead. Listen, everything in the universe collapses at the feet of the glorified Christ. Oi, did you hear what I just said? I said everything, everybody, every matter, every government, every authority, every issue, every case in the universe, when they stand before him, they collapse at his feet. You can't stand there. Jesus Christ is more intense than nuclear bombs going off at the same time. This is the Lord of the universe. Listen, you know, I tremble as I share with you, servant of God. One of the things that shake me when I meditate on Christ is the intensity of Jesus Christ. Do you know that Jesus has not increased in size as a man? He came as a man, but in that man that came, don't forget, is God. He died as a man on the cross. He rose with a glorified body as a man. Do you remember that after he rose from the dead, the Bible tells us that Mary saw him. Even the disciples saw him. The apostles saw him. He didn't look fatter. He didn't look taller. It was the same size that he was, the same height, the same stature, physically speaking, that he was before he died, after he rose again, with which he now sits at the right hand of the Father. But I want you to listen. The concentration inside that person, in that human body, the Bible tells us that in Christ, you have the fullness of the Godhead in a human body. So imagine the Almighty Yahweh, the eternal Jehovah, the consuming fire, complete inside the human body. Hi, Jesus Christ. Oh God, take away the veil from our eyes. Draw your church back to the pursuit of your person, Jesus Christ. Oh, the church has not studied Christ. We need to go back. You need to go back. If your church is not going in this direction, you go and study it and teach it to other people and engage other people. No wonder he can say something and we are arguing. It's because we have not seen him. And then we are trying to use his name to solve our problems. Of course, we should pray in the name of Jesus, but why are you praying in the name of somebody you don't know? And how much is the prayer accomplishing? When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he will have stayed there. You, when you fall at his feet, you stay there. Only the one that he tells to stand can stand. And look what happened. And then he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives. I was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys. I have. That's present tense. That's current. I have the keys of Hades, death, hell, and of death. The Hades literally means the unseen, realm. Jesus said, I'm holding the keys of the unseen realm. Both the heaven and hell and the world itself, I hold the keys. And I hold the keys of death. You see, because Jesus has the keys of death, nobody can kill you before the Jesus that lives in you opens the door. Stop being afraid of death. Look, you see, the way many believers are terrified of death is because we have not seen the one that holds the keys. Do you know that the Bible said that through death, Jesus destroyed the devil who had the power of death? This is Hebrews chapter 2. Read it from 14 down to 15, 16. He destroyed him who had, past tense, the power of death. Satan does not have the power of death over a believer. It rests in the hand of the glorified Christ. I have the keys. I have the keys of the unseen realm, the keys of hell, the keys of death, the keys that unlock all eternity, the keys to everything created. I am holding it. I am Lord of all. Wow. Glory to Jesus. Now, finally, come with me to chapter 19 of the same book of Revelation. The glorified Christ. Now, watch. Verse 11. This is John writing again. He saw him. Now, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. Now listen to what John wrote. Verse 12. His eyes were like a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. Wow. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. See the eyes of fire there again. At the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything will be established. John said his eyes were like a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. We are not told many, how many. But I just imagine one crown for every soul saved. One crown for every victory he won. One crown on top of another. Many crowns. An endless array of crowns. Oh, that song says, crown him with many crowns. The Lamb upon the throne. On his head were many, many, many crowns. One crown for you, for bringing, drawing you to himself. One crown for winning Ferdinand. And one crown for winning all the people that have come to Christ and saving them for all eternity. Many crowns from other victories everywhere else in the universe. On his head, we have many crowns. Wow. He has a name written. One version says tattooed on himself that no one knew except himself. And now listen, he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. This time, he's wearing a robe dipped in blood because he's going to war. And his name is called the Word of God. The Word of God. Verse 14, 19, 14, Revelations 19, 14. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, clean and white, they followed him on white horses. Now watch verse 15. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. A sharp sword. Two-edged sword is coming out of his mouth. That with it, with that sword, the word of his mouth, he should smite the nations, strike the nations. And he himself will rule over them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his name, on his robe, and on his thigh, a name written. This is the one we can read now. King of kings and Lord of lords. The glorified Christ is King of all kings and is the Lord of all lords. The Lord of all those who rule and the King of those who reign. The King of all kings. The Lord of all lords. The Lord of the universe. This is the glorified Christ. This is the glorified Christ. And we are told that he will rule the nations with a rod of iron. He will rule the nations with a rod of iron. Wow. Wow. This is astounding. Child of God, we have seen that Jesus laid down. First of all, Jesus had glory before the world ever was formed. Then secondly, he laid down that glory to take upon him the form of a man. And then he came here, he humbled himself, going so far as to die the death of a criminal on the cross. Then Jesus granted a preview of that glory to selected apostles. And now, believers, we have the revelation of that glory available to all of us in the Word of God. And as the Spirit of God throws light on that word, we begin to see something of what the apostles saw on the Mount of Transfiguration and what we are going to see on the last day. This is the Jesus you will see on the last day. It will not be the Jesus gentle, meek, and mild. Jesus in a manger. Somebody say, when I see Jesus that day, I'm going to go and ask him, why did you do this? Why that? You assume you are going to see your classmate. What? You are going to see this glorified Christ, exalted, higher than the heavens, eyes blazing with fire, head and hair, white as snow, white as wool, the Ancient of Days himself, raging fire, burning inside the human body, the most intense individual in the universe. It pleased the Father that the sum total of the divine attributes, powers and glories should dwell in Christ permanently. Inside Christ, you have all of God inside a human body, a one human body containing the fullness of Yahweh. Who can stand in his presence? John said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. That's everything catalyzes to the floor, to the feet of Jesus when they stand before him. Nobody argues with him in the universe. His word is Alpha and Omega. He speaks first, he speaks last. Nobody can contend with this Christ. Nothing can stand before him. This is John the Beloved, don't forget. This is the same John that used to lean across on the chest of Jesus and ask him questions. But when he saw the glorified Christ, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, grant me, grant your church, grant my brethren, grant this end time church, oh God, a revelation of the glorified Christ, that we might see you as you are. that we might see you as you are, so that we can worship you as we ought to worship you. Oh, Jesus, reveal yourself to us. Take away the veil from our eyes, Heavenly Father. Cause Jesus to appear to us, oh Lord, in the pages of Scripture, quickened by the Spirit, that we might see you as you are, that we might worship you as we ought, that we might bear your authority in the nations. Oh, that we might trust you, that we might rest in you. And thank you, Lord, that when we see you, we shall be like you, because our transfiguration is based on our revelation of your own transfiguration. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Child of God, please don't take these things because Brother Ferdinand said so. I am not an authority. Go study this thing for yourself. Can I request of you to shut down other things and begin to study and focus on the glorified Christ? It will change your life. And if you are a leader, direct everything towards a revelation of Christ. I'm sharing this with you from my heart. Change your church program and start studying Jesus. It will change everything. Start studying God. Start focusing on this God. The people that do know their God, they shall be strong. And they shall do exploits. Not the people that do go to church. The people that do know their God, they are the ones that will be strong and do exploits. Father, we thank you. God bless you, dear servant of God. Please share this with other people until the knowledge of the glory of the Lord fills the earth like the waters cover the sea. Bye-bye.
Lord of the land and Lord of the sea.